Peace be with you. Welcome to the Dean Show. Another week, another episode. Exciting, exciting. Some very great topics. Now imagine this. You're at the university, and now the professor, you're taking the philosophy class, and he writes on the board, there is no God. And now you start debating this subject. But you're one who believes in the Creator because it's natural. But you don't believe in all these man-made religions, but you believe in the true way of life that's sent from the Creator. How do you tackle this? Or now you're just having a nice conversation and a person says, look, I believe in science. It's not like, you know, Islam is calling you to turn off your brain and not to think, because we know the Quran is a book that proves it's from the Creator. But how now do you deal with this new atheism and the challenges that are facing us? Well, my next guest is going to help us when we come back here on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is
How are you, Sheikh? How are you doing?
How are you doing, brother?
Good, good. Thank you for being with us on here on the Dean Show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Time is short, so we get right into it. You heard me open up the show. Now, is this something that you've been approached with? Maybe one of the students said, look, I was in my university class and the professor wrote on the wall, there is no God.
Yes. You know, atheism is something which is very widespread these days, and especially intellectual atheism, you know, where the idea which is being spread is generally religions, and in particular, Islam and Muslims, they are not intellectual, they are not academic. And this whole idea of a belief in God is outdated. It's something which doesn't fit with the modern times, because science has disproved God. And especially when students go in an academic environment in universities, even in high schools, this is on the rise. They find that there are increasingly a greater number of scientists who are teaching, who are their professors. They don't believe in God. And a lot of the young minds, they get very influenced by these people that, you know, if this person has a PhD from, you know, one of the Ivy Leagues or one of the top schools, and he's so intelligent, he's so smart, how come he doesn't believe in God? So this really gets to some people. And it's very important that we understand some of the very basics of it, like atheism appeals to reason. And we can show, and modern science has shown, that by appealing to reason, at the same time, there are some very strong and convincing arguments against atheism and for theism. In other words, for the belief and existence of God. Yeah. And I'm just talking about at that level, not even, you know, the elements of Tawheed and other elements.
Now tell us, look, the people are seeing this basketball. You know, we know that we're from here in Chicago, and the Bulls are in the playoffs, I believe. Right. Are you a Bulls fan? Or I don't watch much sport. I don't watch much. But people are thinking, why do they have a little ball, almost like a mini basketball, on the Dean Show? Are we going to be talking about the Bulls?
I'll explain a concept of physics, of cosmology, using this ball.
Okay, so we're going to get to that later.
Yes.
Now, tell us, you said something reasonable. But when we look at it, it seems like something so irrational, because how can something come from nothing?
Right.
So how can someone claim that? I understand that in a lot of these irrational religions that are man-made, right, but when you compare it to Islam, it just makes sense. So do you think a lot of these professors, they became agnostic atheists because of all the man-made religions that just don't make sense?
That's an excellent point. That's one of the reasons why some of them lose their faith, is because when you know, whatever their belief system is, it just doesn't make sense. So that's one aspect of it. But then they also discredit Islam, because they see Islam is also a theistic religion. It's a religion which talks about belief in God. That's what it is based on a single one supreme being. And in their mind, they believe that there is a scientific explanation for everything. Why do we need belief in God? That's how they appeal to reason. And they don't even explore the evidences for Islam. So we need to kind of meet them where they are and show them how reason does not go against belief in God, and how we have some very strong reasons. And the one which I want to in particular talk about is known as the fine-tuning argument. is from modern cosmology. It's very well studied. And in particular, it has been developed over the last few hundred years based on cosmology, based on our findings of the universe and the beginnings of the universe and how the universe is expanding and how the universe is headed towards some end and some goal.
So that's what you're going to give us. When we come back from the break, you're going to break it down how someone can go ahead and talk to an intellectual academically and give some of these...
I'll throw some pointers in there.
Yes. You've heard it here on the Dean's Show, tackling the new atheism.
The new atheism.
Don't worry about it. We got it here on the Dean's Show. Don't go anywhere.
The Apple of Macintosh dazzled the world. It was invented by Steve Jobs. But who invented the apple we eat? The stethoscope. It was invented by the French physician René Laennec in 1818. But who created the ear in which we hear everything? The calculator was invented by the Frenchman Blaise Pascal in 1639. Who created the human brain, which equals 1 million of advanced calculators working at the same time? The electric light bulb, which we turn to light in a room. It was invented by Thomas Edison in 1879. So, who created the self-illuminating sun, which radiates the whole world? The plane. It was invented by Wilbur Wright in 1903. But who invented the systems in birds that enable them to fly long distances? He is Allah, the creator of everything. Look for him. You will find him. KnowingAllah.com.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, and like I said, don't worry about it. We got it here on The Dean Show with my guest. You're going to give some refutations, some arguments. Please take it away.
Okay, so what we have is basically what is known as the fine-tuning argument. This is based on some of the ancient arguments which philosophers used to give and which were adopted by several religions for the existence of God. In the simplest terms, it's known as the design argument, the argument by design, in which, you know, a person doesn't have to know a lot of science, a person doesn't have to know a lot of mathematics. They definitely don't need to be a cosmologist. There are about 1,000 in the world today. All they need to do is look at the sun, the moon, and the stars and say that they cannot be here without... all of these things, they show a grand design. The way the sun is, the way the moon is, and the precision with which they rotate, and the precision with which they, the day comes and the seasons come, there is a design to everything. And they say that if there is a design, there must be a designer. So this is the simplified version of the argument. But now when we come to science, we see that everything which takes place, and all our modern technology is based on that science. For example, the cameras, the cars, our computers, our gadgets, rockets, they are all based on, for example, statistical mechanics. They are all based on electromagnetics. They are all based on classical mechanics, quantum mechanics, theory of relativity. So there are about 4 or 5 different branches of science, in particular of physics. And there are some fundamental equations, mathematical formulas, which describe all of what we see in the nature, what we observe, and what we can test in the lab, as well as all the technology which we see. It's all based on some of these fundamentals of science, which can be defined by some equations. So there are 3 aspects over here of what is called as the fine-tuning argument. The first is that there are actually laws of nature which describe pretty much everything, including the very beginning of universe, the very immediately beginning of universe, and that's where we'll talk about this ball shortly. The second aspect is that outside of these equations, and if somebody doesn't know what an equation is, think of it like this. 4x is equal to y squared. basic algebra. Of course, these equations are way more complicated, but that's an equation, example of an equation, of a mathematical equation. The number 4 is known as a constant in this equation. It's a number, that's all. It doesn't change, it's not a variable. Just like this, there are certain constants in nature. For example, the speed of light. It doesn't matter if you are on the sun, the moon, or if you're in a different galaxy, or if you're anywhere in the universe, the speed of light is a constant, it stays the same. The same thing goes for subatomic particles. The ratio of the electron and the proton mass, the charges. So there are certain things like this that are constants, that are fixed, that don't depend on anything. And there is no reason why they are what they are. Here's the important thing. There is no reason why they are what they are. They are fixed. That's the second aspect. And I'll talk about the fine-tuning. I still didn't get there. There is a third aspect, which is what is known as the initial conditions. So when the universe started 15 to 20 billion years ago, that's the modern estimate, there were certain conditions that were set in the beginning. Okay. So for example, this ball is at a certain distance from the table. It has a certain weight. So these are the initial conditions. It's not moving right now, right? But these are sort of the initial conditions as to where it is and why it is right now. So mm-hmm. there are certain conditions which describe it. The ball doesn't have to be over here. It could be down here. It could be a bigger ball, right? So these certain initial conditions are also arbitrary. There is no reason why they are what they are, okay? So we have two things over here, the initial conditions and the constants of nature that seem to be very finely tuned, okay, for life to exist in the universe.
That's profound, yes.
In other words, if some of these constants were slightly different, very slightly different, we would not be here. There would be no intelligent life that could exist.
Yes.
This is a very simple explanation of fine-tuning. Okay, well, what are these numbers that we are talking about? How improbable, how next to impossible is it for life to exist because of these numbers? I'll give you one of the most extreme examples in modern cosmology of a constant. It's known as the Penrose number. What is it? Don't worry about it. It's named after a British cosmologist whose name is Roger Penrose. He's alive. He's one of the smartest, you know, cosmologists out there right now. Mm-hmm. He figured out some equations, and he said that in the beginning of the universe, there is something called in physics entropy, which means it's a measure of disorder. Low entropy means that every particle has to be precisely at the same point. I'll end with the talk of entropy. High entropy means very disordered. You know, like you walk into a room of a kid or a teenager and you see how everything is out of place, that's high entropy. You walk into a very organized room, that's low entropy. So in the beginning of the universe, this is a very rough, I'm simplifying things and taking liberties over here, so please understand that, right? That in the beginning, when universe started, the Big Bang, as they call it, started, this is kind of what the universe was. And the measure of disorder was very small. How small? 10 to the power 10 to the power 123. That means 10 to the power 10, and that 10 is followed by 123 zeros. How big is this number? Our minds can't even grasp it. I'll give a few examples shortly. What is this number?
So we cover design?
Yes.
Cover design, fine-tuning now?
The three types of fine-tuning.
Yes.
The laws of physics, the constants of nature, and the initial conditions when the universe started.
I mean, this is profound. I mean, these are some great examples. We're going to get into some more. Where
yes.
we left off, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, and we're tackling the new atheism. Shay, go ahead and take it away. We were talking about the third category of the fine-tuning.
Yes.
Please.
Okay. So, as I was explaining, is that this ball has to be, every particle in it has to be in almost a precise place. And the number which I gave, the number which Roger Penrose calculated, is 10 to the power 10 to the power 123. 10 to the power 123 means 10 repeated, after that there is 123 zeros. And then you raise 10 to that number. You know this number, how big is this number? I want to give an example of a much smaller number. I'll give two examples. Imagine that you're in one corner of the universe and you throw a dart. The chances of that dart hitting a penny on the other end of the universe, that number is way bigger. It's almost 10 to the power 30. I'll give another example. I mean, can you imagine, like, what is the likelihood of you throwing a dart from one end of the universe and it hitting a penny on the other end of the universe?
So you're saying that's more likely than all of this coming by chance?
No, way more likely. Wait,
that's
than
more likely
just the Penrose number.
Yeah.
Just the Penrose number.
Just the Penrose number.
SubhanAllah. This is amazing. Let me give you another example. A billion pencils. Please say that. How many?
A billion.
A billion pencils. You have this glass surface, right? What are the chances of a billion pencils standing on their edge at the same time, simultaneously, without falling down on a smooth glass surface? That's 10 to the power 60 only, meaning 10, and there are 60 zeros after that. It's again a very big number compared to this one number of 10 to the power 10 to the power 123 of Roger Penrose's number. Let me give another illustration over here. So what I'm saying, these two numbers are like insignificant. So I gave you two examples of something which is so mind-boggling, but they're insignificant. Now here is the punchline. Imagine that you have these different dials, okay? And you can change the Penrose number, you can change the speed of light, you can change the gravitational force, you can change the electronic force, the weak electric force, the strong electric force, nuclear forces. You can adjust all these different forces, which are the constants of nature and the initial conditions, okay? And then you have like a screen which will give you like a preview. If you change this a little bit over here, how will the universe move on? How will it evolve? And if you change this dial a little bit, what will happen? Here is the thing. These values, these dials, have been set so precisely. So precisely. That is almost impossible to imagine. It is unreasonable. That's the word. It is unreasonable to imagine that it happened by chance. That somebody set these dials to their very precise numbers, and I gave a few examples of how precise those numbers have to be, just by chance, in order for there to be life, in order for their, for life to exist in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
To say that these numbers were there just by chance. It's unreasonable.
Now, have you presented this? Have you sat down with an academic, with a scholar in, let's say, any field of chemistry, biology from the university? Have you presented these arguments?
These facts are well known. They are well studied by cosmologists. Mm-hmm. They are very well studied by cosmologists.
So how can someone, after they hear something like continue on denying the Supreme Being, the creator of all that exists?
Barakallahu feek. That's an excellent question. Okay, if the evidence is so clear, how can a person deny? They come up with some very irrational. They come with very irrational and unreasonable answers
but
to this.
But I thought you said they're rational. They're reasonable.
They are reasonable when it comes to science. But when it comes to belief in God, they become irrational.
I see. Yeah.
Because you see, belief in God comes with responsibility. And they don't like that.
That's the key, responsibility.
It comes with, like, you have to worship Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala.
Now we're getting
somewhere. We can see the motive behind this.
Yes. And some of them have actually, you know, changed. There are some people that change.
Many do.
Many of them do. So some of these people who have come up with some of these numbers, and others, they are theists, they are believers. And they say it's next to impossible to deny the existence of God. There are people, quite a few professors, some of them are Nobel laureates, who hold this belief. So some of the reasons they come up with is they say, hey, this is pure chance. It's just chance. That's all what it is. So the question we can ask them is this, like, let's say that you are put in front of a firing squad, right? And there are 100 trained shooters with loaded guns, who are, and their job is to shoot at you. And the numbers, by the way, over here are very small compared to the numbers we are talking about. And they are all ordered to shoot you. They all direct your guns, their guns at you, and they shoot, and they all miss. They all miss. And you say, you know what? They missed. That's all that there is to it. There is no explanation. But this is where we come, and we say, you know what? There has to be an explanation, because the event is so magnanimous that it deserves an explanation. You cannot just say, it just is, and move on.
Yes.
But that's basically what they say. The other explanation which is given by some of them, or a cop-out or a way out, is they say that the laws of physics and mathematics created it. Well, that's giving creative power to laws which we understand, which we have deduced, which we have studied. They are predictive, not creative. So these laws we can use to predict what will happen. So in other words, there are certain equations in physics, Newton's laws, from which I can base and say that, you know, this ball, if it will drop, with what velocity it will hit the ground, so on and so forth. But the law itself did not create the ball. The law itself did not create gravity. There has to be a creator for these laws and the phenomenon and the universe which obeys these laws. Then they come up with a third answer as well. It's also very disingenuous. It's what they say is that, you know what? We are, and this requires actually a greater explanation, but at least I will mention it for the sake of, just for completeness. They say that our universe is not the only universe. We are one part of a multiverse. Well, why do they come up with multiverse? Why, where does this idea even come from? So what they say is that, you know what? We are basically like the winners of a cosmic lottery, right? Let's say that there is 1 in 10 million chance, but someone wins the lottery. Mm-hmm. But there is a 1 in 10 million chance, but someone wins the lottery. So think of it like there is some sort of a universe generating machine which is pumping out universes, balls, every ball. Every ball is a universe. We just happen to be the ball which had the right conditions, and we developed to come back and say, you know what? This is amazing. There is life over here. Do you want me to give you a very simple answer to this?
Please, go ahead.
Here is the problem. There are several problems. One major problem. We are in this ball, right? This is our universe. We are making an assumption over here, and this is very unscientific, that there are all these other multiverses next to infinite universes, which they call multiverse, in which life does not exist, but by definition, they cannot be studied scientifically. Mm-hmm. We cannot even study them. We cannot even ever, by definition, know whether they exist or they don't exist. And that's very unscientific.
Yes.
So to disprove God, they come up with these, or to not accept God, they come up with these very unreasonable explanations. Here, I'll give another thing. There is actually a theorem in cosmology which says, even, subhanAllah, this is amazing, even if there was a multiverse, it must have a beginning.
Yes.
Even if there were multiple, infinite number of multiple universes, there must be a beginning to them. SubhanAllah. So heads or tails, fine-tuning wins. Heads or tails, God wins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wins. You cannot escape this clear evidence which is out there unless you become unscientific and unreasonable.
Unreasonable, definitely. Yes. Thank you very much for helping us tackle this topic. I know the time was short, but hopefully you got some very good points out there for the sincere person. You got to be sincere.
Absolutely.
Seeking the truth. Hopefully this will resonate. And we'll see you next time, inshallah.
Inshallah.
God willing.
Inshallah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Peace
for having
be with
me.
You. Thank you. And thank you for watching The Dean Show. Now, the same way, if you were playing ball and a person asked you where that ball come from, you wouldn't just say, from nothing. Or if you were on the beach and you were just playing some beach volleyball, and you went on the sand and you saw, like, what's this? And you ended up seeing an iPhone, what is it, 6? And you blew off the sand and you picked it up. You wouldn't just think it came from nothing, would you? No, you wouldn't, silly. Now, that's the thing that we have to really ponder over. These are things that are just evident, self-evident, and it's in our very nature to believe. But it goes against our nature to believe in a lot of these man-made religions that start to worship a stick, a stone, the sun, the moon. So definitely we say what the atheist says in a sense when we declare that there's nothing worthy of worship. There's no God except the one true God, the creator of all that exists. So Jesus is not God, nor did he ever claim to be God. Muhammad is not God. None of the creation is God except the one who created creation. And that makes sense. Look into it some more. Watch us here on The Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.